Hello, hello everyone, and a heartfelt welcome to 2025 from Inspiring African Travel. We are coming close now to the end of our Inspiring African Travel fundraising year we started for Jules. It was the 26th of January 2024 that marked a very special day. It was the 1 year anniversary of when we said goodbye to Julia. And it was the relaunch of Inspiring African Travel after our little break. And we wanted to start that year by creating a legacy for Jules. It was our way, I guess, of uniting her love of Africa, her generous soul, and her all-round kindness that she imparted on so many people throughout her life. So I want to say a huge, massive thanks to everyone, because in just under a year, we have managed to raise a total of £8,892. That is just around 11,000 US dollars. Amazing achievement, everybody. Thank you so much. So in this episode, we actually wanted to share with you how these funds have been distributed between the three projects and the impact that we've already had. However, while I'm really proud of what we've achieved in this year, the purpose of this episode is to remind everybody that we still have a few more days to go before the year is officially over. And I wanted to do one last push. Maybe you know somebody who knew Julia and hasn't yet donated. Perhaps you'd like to donate again. Whatever the case may be, now is the time to do it. It's really easy, as a reminder for everybody, of how to donate. Just jump onto the website, inspiringafricantravel.com, and just as you hit the homepage, you'll see, as you scroll down a fraction, the GoFundMe Donate Here button. Really easy to do. You can find links on our social media pages, and of course, we're easy to get hold of any which way you like. I also just wanted to use this as an opportunity to remind everybody that we've actually aligned ourselves with the EDP Trust, which is a UK registered charity. The EDP is the charity run by my godparents and the family that funds the Awutu Winton Secondary School in Ghana. That's one of the projects we've been supporting in the fundraising year for Jules. And so those of you who would like to donate to a registered UK charity, that obviously allows us to claim the gift aid. It brings in an extra 20-odd% for the donation. And perhaps for corporate reasons, it would help you donate to a registered charity from wherever you are in the world. Please just let me know. You can drop me an email on james@inspiringafricantravel.com or just pop us a message on Instagram, Facebook, wherever you choose. Find a way to get in touch with me and I'll help facilitate that. So once again, you can donate to a fund we've created within the EDP Trust, a registered UK charity, or just donate on our GoFundMe page. Thank you ever so much. And before we get into the projects, I wanted to take a moment to just reflect on the last 2 years. I can't actually believe it's been almost 2 years since Julia passed away. And I wanted to chat about how Inspiring African Travel and the fundraising year has been such an integral part of the last couple of years. For those of you who've been following the show for some time, you might have listened to the relaunch episode we did that came out on her anniversary on the 26th of January last year. And it was a tough episode to record. And I spoke a lot about the struggles and the reason why we chose this time to relaunch the podcast and to start this fundraising year. So I'm going to touch a little bit on on some of those things that I mentioned, but I wanted to share again one of the hardest things that I've experienced in the last few years. And that's after Julia went, life had a feeling of a sudden lack of purpose. You know, when Jules and I were together, it was lucky for me because I could just dig into every bit of energy and positivity I had because, you know, we had both of us to live for. And, you know, Jules was also so stoic and strong in her approach. I fed off that incredible resilience that she had as well. And things were tough for many years, even before she had cancer. And the two of us were just an incredible team. And somehow through everything, we would find our way through it. And then, as I said, life felt so utterly empty after she left. And for the first time, the prospect of starting the fundraising year and relaunching the podcast gave me a renewed sense of purpose again. It was something that we had started together at a time that we were facing a challenge already with the loss of our first baby. So the podcast has been a massive source of inspiration for me. And I hope that throughout this journey, seeing all these donations and messages and love that has come through for Jules, I hope that in some way it's helped those of you who were connected with Julia feel the same way in some way as well. And I have to say that so many people who didn't meet her have told me how touched they were and are by what an amazing woman Jules was. You know, people often ask me, hey James, how's the podcast going? And for us, it was always a passion or an extension of our travel interest and our passion for traveling in Africa, and a medium that we would hope that others could enjoy and make use of. But throughout this last fundraising year, it's been more than that. The podcast has become an emotional outlet for me as well, as an extension of our passion for Africa. So I'm actually wanting to use this as an opportunity to say thank you for everybody for helping me share this grief and celebrate her life and bring meaning and purpose back again. When you have so much emotion and love for somebody that you've lost, it just really helps to share it in some way. And I've been completely humbled by the amount of colleagues and friends that have come forward and have told me how much they enjoy the podcast. In fact, we've had people get in touch who've made travel choices thanks to our tips and our destination episodes. People who have never been to Africa listen to the podcasts and have become followers of Inspiring African Travel, and I'm sure will be future travelers. People who we didn't even know have found us. A gentleman from Switzerland was suggested the podcast by some travel industry friends. They were traveling to Africa, and he very tragically lost his wife. And they shared the podcast with them, and they shared their emotions and their story. They came forward and told me how inspired they were by the podcast and sent an incredible donation. And so just that in itself, it just feels like we've made some positive impacts. I can feel it on myself, and I hope it's touched other people as well. So thank you so very much. And now, while we talk about the positive impact it's had on my life and those of us who knew and loved Jules, now we get the chance to share the story about the positive impact we've had thanks to the donations to these three projects that we've been supporting. So very excited to share with you the updates. And remember that the $11,000 that we've raised has been split evenly between the three projects, and there's more time to get more money in and help these projects get the start that they need for 2025. Let's kick off with Dr. Tempe Adams, a very close friend of mine and someone Jules got to know intimately over our years in Botswana. Tempe launched a wildlife and community coexistence initiative in Botswana around about the middle of 2024. What she's trying to achieve, it's actually the first wildlife roadkill research study in Botswana. And our funds have gone towards building a system which is collecting community data from people all around the country who would submit a report of a dead wild animal. These posters are funded by us. They're all over the country. And as of December 2024, they've collected already 110 reports from across the country. And wildlife roadkills are something that get slightly overlooked in Botswana. But if you put it in perspective, take, for example, wild dogs, the African wild dog or the painted wolf. They're highly endangered. There's just a few thousand of them left in Africa. And if you are able to, through this roadkill initiative, identify areas where wild dog fatalities are taking place, you can put in mitigations in place and have a dramatic impact, because those fatalities would have a significant impact on their population and future. And that's just one example of how this can work. And also really take care of communities in and around wildlife areas. And that's a big part of what Tempe is doing through this research study as well, is engage in the community areas and start to work on mitigation efforts between wildlife and communities. Our funds have also gone towards taking on a research assistant, an interpreter for Tempe, who can be out there and deal with the local communities and really get the information and build the trust with them. So ultimately, the aim is to reduce conflict between wildlife conservation and the ever-growing human population and development that's taking place. And so we really hope that Tempe is able to build momentum this year and ultimately get those reports and data across to local government, who are waiting to be at hand to basically put in systems that can sort this out. Over to Ghana, West Africa, the Awutu Winton Secondary School in Ghana. It's a place that I was fortunate to go to in mid-2023. And what an incredible year it's been. First of all, the funds we've managed to raise has covered the fees and the costs of putting 10 of the students through the entire year last year of school. So I hope if we can raise a little bit more money, we'll be able to put another 5 or 6 students through this year as well. And what an incredible place this is. It's was started by my godparents many years ago and is now run by the family and an incredible team in Ghana. The education that is provided for the kids is of an exceptionally high quality. The idea is that underprivileged children from impoverished areas around this area would have the opportunity to have a completely free, high-quality education in a center of excellence. Not only that, but there is a thriving sports department. Those of you who managed to listen to the episode about the project, Max and I did a walk and talk through Devon in the UK and spoke so enthusiastically about the incredible swimming pool that is taught so many kids in the area to swim. There is Ghana's best school water polo team from there, And they also launched rugby and cricket this last year, which, as a huge fan myself, I was really excited about. I can't wait to go over and get involved. But these niche sports are so good at building ties with international schools and colleges and universities and really help the school stand out. So very excited to see how that goes. If you can jump onto the socials, EDP Trust, you'll find some great posts there about what's happening. Something that was extremely encouraging was the building of a huge solar plant at the school, donated by a team in the UK. The school is almost entirely off the grid, but an amazing project to try and get other schools in the region to follow a similar model whereby they'll be able to cover costs with the support from the government. This is an initiative that they're working on at the moment, but it takes me back to an interview I was having with a young lad called Richard there at the school. He was planning on doing engineering, and I asked him what he wanted to study and go into after that, and he thought, well, he'd like to get into the petrochemical industry. So now, maybe with the incredible state-of-the-art solar plant at the school, kids there studying in the future may be lured into the renewable industry, and what potential that solar and renewable industry has in places like Africa. So we watch the space. Third and final project, Linda Bahari, the Coral Nursery and Community Project in Zanzibar, Tanzania. Zanzibar, of course, a place so close to Jules's heart. And the money that we've raised this year has gone towards the incredible work the team is doing there in terms of the coral restoration. However, it's been a hell of a challenging year for them. As the months progressed early last year, the El Nino cycle has driven coral bleaching to a devastating point. I was there in March last year with Max. We dived down with Malou and Billy and the team and saw firsthand what a devastating impact the warming ocean there is having on the coral. And then not long after that, Cyclone Hidaya smashed the coast of Zanzibar, and it just about destroyed the entire coral nursery. I felt so bad for the team there. I just can't imagine all the years and time and hours and dedication that goes into nurturing this place just to be wiped out like that. But everybody in the community rallied together. The dive center, everybody pulled together their resources. And as of the end of the year, the nursery has been rebuilt with over 1,100 different coral fragments across 11 species. That is an incredible turnaround. But as it resonates so closely with what we do and what they're doing there, a key highlight is of course working with the local community and getting youngsters from the surrounding villages to understand the importance of coral and conservation. So late last year, our funds went to help not just build and rebuild the coral nursery, but also onboarding a lovely girl called Jacinta Cholo. She's a coral restorer now. She's got her dive qualifications. She's from the local area. And she's now contributing to the nursery restoration, but also paving the way for more female involvement. So an amazing work from Malou and the team there at Sunshine Marine Lodge in Zanzibar. Linda Bahari is doing really wonderful work. And of course, the guidance and the support from Frank, the Maasai diver, who travels around the world with his wife, is always on hand and popping in there regularly, doing his bit. So guys, as you look ahead, I think there's a lot of plans to strengthen the structures within the coral nursery and keep that project going. I hope we can bring in some more support as we build up that nursery and really get the local communities involved, hopefully more young women like Jacinta can get involved as well. So there we have it. One last push, guys, would be amazing. Let's see if we can get this up to $20,000. I think we can do it. And I think for me, something that I've really learned over the last few years is that the hardest thing about running a charity project is having a stable, regular income for you to run the project. Donations, you know, they can help a lot, but without having the security of knowing that there are consistent funds coming through makes running these projects extremely hard. So if there's anyone out there who wants to form a stronger bond or relationship with any or all of these projects, we are here. I think while this fundraising year comes to an end, our support at Inspiring African Travel will not stop here. I thought a lot about why we've been doing this fundraising year, and it's obviously quite clear why we're doing it. We're doing it for Jules, and we want to create a positive legacy for her. But, you know, I think a lot about why others give to charity, and there's usually some sort of underlying experience or reason that is driving it. It's quite complicated. But this commitment to giving back stems from something I learned when I was going through the journey of Jules's last months, and I sought help from an amazing man. He was a counsellor that specialised in helping people through the journey of death and after death. And he shared with me, when I was asking many questions about speaking to volunteers, when I told him about our plans for the fundraising year, and he said he used to talk to people and volunteers who wanted to work at a hospice. They also wanted to help people going through the journey of death because they knew how hard it was for them or their loved one. And he used to ask them, well, why do you want to do this? And that's because, you know, they would respond, because we want to help and we want to help. And he would ask them again, well, but really, why do you want to do this? And what it often came back to was a feeling that it would give that person. They were doing it for themselves as much as they were doing it for the other people. Being around people in their last moments of life and being a part of something that is so incredibly emotional and powerful is something that is a blessing and a privilege for somebody. It probably sounds a little bit strange to hear that if you haven't gone through it yourself, but those of you who've been through the process of grief will know what I'm talking about. And I think I've taken that lesson through me now as we go and set about the final days of this fundraising year and think about how we can support in the future. We bring that back to travel in Africa and how traveling to these extraordinary places, you know, if I think about some of the places I've been and experienced over the years in Africa, unbelievable. And I get to learn from the people who call it their home, be in these remote, wild environments, learn about their struggles, learn about their joys and their triumphs. It's such a privilege. And these experiences that us as travelers in Africa get to have are deeply humbling, and they can really change your life. So giving back, it shouldn't be a burden or anything like a guilt. It's an honor and it's a privilege, and it's just a way you can show gratitude but also build a connection and a bridge and somehow learn from the beauty that we've been able to witness out in these beautiful places. So I hope that makes sense. I just wanted to say that at Inspiring African Travel, giving back isn't just something we do. It's really, you know, central to who we are. And giving back in the financial and support sense, but also opening up new places and marginal areas and sharing our love for the people and the places of this incredible continent. So to everyone who has supported these projects, thank you so much for being a part of it, for being part of Jules' legacy. You know, together what we're doing is we're not just helping others, but we're building a deeper understanding of the world and ourselves. I also want to say a massive thanks to Julia's family, Jules' mum and sister, Nema and Anna, quietly grieving. I know how much pain and suffering you feel so often, and know that you are a huge part of my life forever. And what an amazing job you've done there, flying the flag. Shortly after Jules passed away, Nema and Anna set about building an incredible well point to provide fresh, free, safe drinking water for the community there in Zanzibar. And just in your love and everything you go about in your daily lives, you're doing her proud. And also, I know that Jules was very much the driving force behind us getting this podcast up and running. It was something that Stuart and I had talked about so long. But I have to say, in the relaunch and the start of the fundraising year and getting the podcast up and running again, Stuart has been an incredible support. He's our co-founder, he's my lifelong buddy, and I don't think I would have been able to get this up and running again without Stu. You're brilliant at pulling this together. We have fun doing it, and I can't wait to pull together more destination episodes and content, travel content, later this year. It's going to be an exciting one. There are some amazing things that we are doing, and thank you to everyone who has supported and for this last push. I'm so grateful. Look forward to talking to you again soon. Cheers, guys.